Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today inshallah our class is related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam last sermon during Hajj. Actually this was the final Hajj sermon. Today, inshallah, is the fourth of Zilhijjah, the month of Hajj. Every year at this holy month, we remember the last sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was very close to his death. Inshallah, today we will learn the principles of this sermon and we will remind ourselves regarding its benefits. Before listening to the sermon of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us recite this verse from the Quran, from Surah number 47, verse number 33, and then I will clarify why we are starting with this verse of the Quran. Surah number 47, verse number 33. الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم.
O ye who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and render not vain your deeds.
Actually, sister, this is a command from Allah, the Almighty, to obey the Holy Messenger in whatever He commands us to do. And also to stay away from all things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us to avoid. Let us, inshallah, start now with the speech of Prophet Muhammad, the khutbah of Prophet Muhammad in Hajj. And before listening to his khutbah, we must believe that all the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are inspiration from Allah. I am clarifying that all the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, are inspiration from Allah. This means that we must follow his commands, inshallah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam last sermon. This sermon was delivered on the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah. This means it is called the day of Arafah. Okay, which is the ninth day. Okay, and actually Muslims are advised to fast that day because this is the best day of the year, the day of Arafah, which is next Saturday, inshallah. So if you can fast next Saturday, inshallah, this will be very good because this is the day of supplication. You know, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the Muslims whom they go to Mecca for pilgrimage, Hajj, they actually are always, you know, having all the attention to supplicate to Allah mostly on that day. The ninth of Dhul Hijjah, it is the day of supplication for the Muslims. So when you are fasting, inshallah, Allah inshallah will answer your supplication. So try to fast, inshallah, every year the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. One day before the big Eid. You know, this is the day of Arafah. It is the day of Arafah. And actually Arafah is the mountain in Mecca, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Muslims most stand on it, okay, as one of the steps of Hajj. Part of Hajj is to stand on that mountain and to pray Dhuhr prayer and Asr prayer together, okay, and to do supplication to Allah, okay. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, lend me an attentive ear, for I don't know whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you carefully, and take these words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Return the goods entrusted to you to their right owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord, and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah has forbidden you to take usury, interest. Therefore, all interest obligations shall henceforth be waived. Beware of Satan for your safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. Beware of following him in small things. Oh people, inshallah, I will give you all the summary of this. We'll discuss it in detail, inshallah. Oh people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have right over you. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And if you're right that you don't make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never to commit adultery. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah, say your 5 daily prayers, salah, fast during the month of Ramadan, and give your wealth in zakat. Perform hajj if you can afford to. You know that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. You are all equal. Nobody has superiority over other except by piety and good action. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer for your deeds. So beware, don't astray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet will come after me, and no new face will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand my words, which I convey to you. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. And if you follow this, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again, and may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. Okay, sisters? So, actually, this is the last sermon of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And first we will learn some historical facts regarding this speech. Actually, speech in Arabic we call it khutbah. Okay, are you familiar with this word, khutbah? Mm-hmm. So I will use the word khutbah. Okay, this khutbah was delivered by the last Prophet, peace be upon him, during the Felwer pilgrimage in front of 124,000 people gathered around him. This is the last sermon, which englobed the main aspects of Islam, aimed as a reminder to people. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to mention the most important aspects of Islam so that, you know, this is a reminder to people. It is also the last time that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited Arafat, the mountain of pilgrimage. He died after 3 months from this khutbah. Actually, as soon as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, delivered this speech or this khutbah, the following verse of the Quran was delivered. Surah number 5, verse number 3. And actually, it is mentioned that this is the last verse of the Quran. Surah number 5, verse number 3. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. But as for him who is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, such can eat these above-mentioned meats. Then surely Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful.
Actually, sisters, this verse of the Quran, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying that he had perfected the religion for us, completed his favor upon Muslims, and have chosen for us Islam as our religion. And actually, upon hearing this verse of the Quran, one of the companions, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he cried. And he was asked, why you are crying? He answered, nothing succeeded perfection but imperfection. This verse was a sign that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will die soon. Because now, you know, he is saying, I have perfected your religion and completed my favor and chosen Islam. Now he conveyed all the message. So he will die, you know, because he was created in this life mainly, you know, to convey the message of Islam. So as soon as he conveyed the message and he completed all the message and, you know, he perfected the religion for us, you know, this means that this is a sign of his death. And actually, 2 months later, he started to become ill. And a month later, he pressed his last on the 20th of Rabi' al-Awwal, that is to say, after 2 months and 12 days, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dead. So when he delivered this message, it was the last reminder from him to humanity and to the Muslims. Okay, so let us now, inshallah, revise the main principles of this khutbah so that, inshallah, we will get the benefit of the last reminder of our Prophet. First, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your blood, wealth, and honor, the meaning, are as sacred on this day, as sacred as this day, this land, and this month. What is the meaning of this, sister? The month of Dhul Hijjah, this month, is a sacred month. This means that no killing in this month. Okay? The land of Mecca, where they were there, Arafah, is sacred land. You know, killing is forbidden in Mecca. Okay? And that day, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, is the most important day for Muslims. So it is a sacred day. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying to us that as that day is sacred and that land is sacred, your blood, your wealth, your honor, you know, is a trust, you know, regarding the Muslims one to each other. What is the meaning of this? This means that we must safeguard people's blood, people's wealth, people's dignity. Okay? And actually these human rights are mentioned in the Quran. So first we will learn from the Quran about the trust regarding safeguards people's blood. We are not supposed to kill each other. We will read from Surah number 2, verse number 179. Whom they are not Muslims, they are the impression that in Islam there are no human rights. Actually, the best human rights, inshallah, are in the Islam because the human rights in Islam are from the Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who taught us about the human rights in Islam. So now we will learn that the eternal human rights in Islam are the best regarding any man-made law or system on the earth. Number one, to safeguard the people's blood, Surah number 2, verse number 179.
الله الرحمن الرحيم كن في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And there is a saving of life for you in Al-Qisas, the law of equality and punishment, O men of understanding, that you may become a mutakun, the pious.
Actually, sisters, in Islam, you know, the rule is that, you know, if someone kills another one, okay, whether the one who is killed is poor or rich, you know, whatever his position in life, he has the right, you know, that if that one who killed him, he must be killed. Okay? If you read, you can read first verse number 178 so that you can understand the meaning of the law of equality in punishment. Okay, let us read the previous verse of the Quran. Okay, so that you can, when you will read 178, you will understand the meaning of 179. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu, kutiba alaykum al-qisasu fil-qatla, al-hurru bil-hurri, wal-abdu bil-abdi, wal-unsa bil-unsa, faman ufiya lahu min akhihi shay'un, fattiba'un bil-ma'roof, wa-ada'un ilayhi bi-ihsan, ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O you who believe, Al-Qisas, the law of equality in punishment, is prescribed for you in case of murder. The free for free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. But if the killer is forgiven by the brother or the relatives of the killed against blood money, then adhering to it with fairness and payment of the blood money to heirs should be made in fairness. This is an alleviation and a mercy from your Lord. So after this, whoever transgresses the limits or kills the killer after taking the blood money, he shall have a painful torment.
So, you know, sisters, what's the meaning of this? There are some people whom they said that, you know, Islam, you know, is the religion which loves the blood. Why to kill someone for another one? Okay, you know, sisters, in Islam, these rules are very strict, so that whenever you think to kill someone, you must be aware that you will be killed. So this will make you to think it over. You know, when we learn as a human being that there is strong punishment for any crime, you will not move to make the crime easily. You will think it three times, and at the end you will not do the crime because you will be afraid of the punishment. These are the rules of Islam. Protection better than treatment. To protect the community from having people, you know, criminals whom they can kill each other, okay, there is a very tough punishment. Okay, so if I am aware that there is a very tough punishment, okay, you will not see this number of crimes, you know, which are going on the earth. This is Islam, you know, this is the laws of the one who creates the human being and knows his nature. When the human being is aware of the consequences of his crime, he will not do it, or he will think it over, or he will postpone it. So Allah is clarifying that, you know, in regarding murder, the free for the free, the man for the man, the female for the female. Okay, this is the law of punishment in Islam. Okay, and this actually is law of punishment safeguards the people's blood. Because many people, they stop and they don't murder other people because they are aware that they will be killed. They cannot escape it. But still, Islam is the religion of mercy. Suppose you want to forgive that person, okay, and they will compensate you with some money. Suppose now, Sister Daniel killed me, okay, or murdered me, okay, and now it is her turn to be murdered, okay, by law, Islamic law. Then if Sister Daniel will talk to my family and tell them, I am very sorry, I was not in a good shape, I was sick, something happened to me, I apologize, and I am ready to compensate you with money, you know, and not to kill me. This is accepted in Islam, okay, but she must pay the money immediately. She must not give a promise and then forget about paying the money. And also, you know, the family of the murdered person are not supposed to take the money from Daniel and then kill her. You see how Islam and the Quran is clarifying all, you know, the plots of the nature of the human being. Allah clarified that all of this is forbidden. If you agree to take the money from the one who, you know, murder one of your family, you are not supposed to kill him. And the one who promised to pay the money, he must pay it immediately. Okay? So all of these laws, you know, are not because Islam is after blood. No, because Islam wants to protect the human being from his, you know, evil nature. Okay? If I am not happy with my husband for years and years, let me kill him. Okay? And get rid of him. Or murder him. Okay? No. If you will murder him, you will be killed. Try to think it again. Don't kill. Okay? And this is actually the reality of safeguarding people's blood. But unfortunately, those laws of Islam are not followed, you know, except in one country, you know, in Saudi Arabia. Okay? And even in Saudi Arabia, there are sometimes some, you know, some conditions if the murder is one of them. This is why Muslims and the whole humanity are not aware of the mercy of Islam. Because Islam is not in practice. You have to know this and you have to accept this. Where are the real Muslims? Where are the real Muslims whom you will learn about them from the speech of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If the Muslims will live the Islam in reality, you know, life will be totally different. And non-Muslims, alhamdulillah, like you, alhamdulillah, that you become Muslims and Allah showers His mercy in your hearts so that you accept Islam in spite of the fact it is not practiced in reality on the earth. But if Islam will be practiced on reality in the earth, we will be in reality sisters. We will love each other. We will support each other. We will take care of each other. And we will love other people. We will love that everyone will live a good life. Your heart will be a very good heart. And if the Satan or Iblis will try to deceive you, you will remember these laws of the human rights. You will remember that I cannot deceive anyone. I cannot kill anyone. I cannot, you know, envy or have an evil eye towards anyone because of my belief that Allah is there, number one, and because of the laws of punishment in Islam, how they are very severe so that they will not give us any chance or excuse to do any crime. But, you know, sisters, you know, may Allah, inshallah, guide the hearts of the Muslims so that, you know, they can prove to humanity that so long Islam is the last religion on the earth, it must be the complete religion and it must be the religion of mercy. This is the reality of Islam, and actually the born Muslims like me will be questioned on the Day of Judgment why they didn't live the reality of Islam and prove the mercy of Islam to non-Muslims so that, you know, many non-Muslims will become Muslims. We will be questioned about this, you know. But alhamdulillah, I don't think you will be questioned for this on the Day of Judgment. As revert sisters. Now we will learn about how Islam safeguards people's wealth. We will read from Surah number 4, verse number 38. Read verse number, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 37 and 38. So that inshallah you can understand, you can have the whole meaning. We will read 37 and 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا.
Those who are miserly and enjoying miserliness, miserliness, okay, on other men and hide what Allah has bestowed on them of His bounties. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a disgraceful torment. And also those who spend on their substance to be seen of men and believe not in Allah in the last day, they are the friends of Shaitan. And whoever takes Shaitan as an intimate, then what a dreadful intimate he has.
Then now, sisters, we will learn how Islam guards people's dignity. We will read from Surah number 49, verse number 11 and 12. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Are you believe, let not a group scoff at another group. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor let some women scoff at other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it to insult one brother after having faith, and to call your brother, your Muslim brother, a faithful believer, as O sinner or O wicked? And whosoever does not repent, then such are indeed Zalimun, the wrongdoers. O you who believe, avoid much suspicion, indeed some suspicions that are sins, and spy not, neither backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting, and fear Allah. Verily Allah is the one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful.
Jazakallah khair.
Does the problem let me know?
Okay. Jazakallah. This is regarding the human rights. Okay. Now we will learn again that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reminded us in this khutbah regarding the great harm and sin regarding usury, interest, the riba. Okay. Taking in transactions between people. Okay. So now when we will revise the sermon again, okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has forbidden you to take usury interest. Okay? Therefore, all interest obligation shall be waived. Okay, so sisters, again, as Muslims, we must realize and understand why Islam forbids usury. Okay? It is not a complicated issue, but it must be very clear to every one of us, because, you know, number one, every one of us nowadays, okay, realized how usury or interest caused a lot of troubles for everyone, okay? So, at that point, you will believe that it was, you know, the laws of Islam, which is against misery, against usury, that they were right rules, okay? So now I will clarify to you in some details about into that, you will be always convinced that the laws of Islam are the laws of the one who created the heavens and the earth, so these are the right laws. Whether I can follow it or not, this is something else. But I must believe that all the rules and the laws of Allah, the laws of Islam, are the right ones. Okay? I will clarify to you now some facts regarding the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Islamic system and the usury based on Islamic system, so that you can realize the difference, and you can realize, sister, that this Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now more than 1,400 years, okay? But whatever we are living now in the 21st century, okay, is the proof of the reality of the Quran. Why? Now I will clarify to you, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, regarding the difference between usury, or let me use the interest system and the Islamic system regarding, you know, the trade and the... Number one, in Islam, the economic system in Islam is based on the concept that Allah is the creator and the master of all that exists. Okay, this is in Islam. Now we are learning about economy. Okay, so this is number one. Number two, Allah provided man with the tools, the materials, and the means by which he can exercise his authority and free will. Okay, according to that deal, man should live according to the laws of Allah, which means the fair distribution of the wealth on the earth. Okay? Number three, in Islam, believers must look after one another, welfare, and share the benefits of what Allah has provided to all of them. Islam has set up the zakat charity as a fixed obligation on the well-off and encouraged voluntary charity without limits. Okay? Now I'm giving you, you know, sister, the basics of the economic, of the Islamic economic system, so that you can compare it with the interest economic system, so that you can realize that all the rules of Allah are the righteous ones and are the one for the benefit of the humanity. Number four, the Quran stressed that wealth should not be left to circulate only among the rich of you. This is mentioned in Surah number 59, verse number 7. Let us read this verse so that we can learn that wealth is not supposed to circulate only among the rich of us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah number 5, verse number 7. ما أفاء الله على رسوله من أهل القرى فلله وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What Allah gave as booty to His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the people of the townships is for Allah, His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kindred of Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the orphans, the sakin, the poor, and the welfare, in order that it may not become a fortune used by rich among you. And whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives you, take it. And whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it. And fear Allah. Verily, Allah is severe in punishment.
Okay. Actually, sister, this is regarding the economic system in Islam. Is that wealth should not live to circulate only among the rich of us. There is the charity and the volunteer charity to be given to those whom they are in need. And also Allah is the provider of all the means, and mankind has to try his best and to work hard to earn, you know, the money. Okay? We are not supposed to earn the money without effort. Okay? This is the basic of forbidden. This is the basics on what usury or interest is forbidden in Islam. Okay? Because the basic of the interest-based system is that, you know, number one, it is based on the wrong concept that accumulation and enjoyment of the wealth is the ultimate objective of human being life, and this will lead to the rush for money making, regardless of the means. What is the meaning of this? I will clarify to you this now while we are learning about the interest system, which is a threat from the economic point of view, because it is as the total sum of all liquid money in the world will end up in the hands of few billionaires. Okay, and this is what is going on now. In the interest system, okay, the sum of all the money, you know, is only, you know, in the hands of few billionaires. Why? You know, sister, because the system is bound, actually I will clarify to you now, because it is bound to undermine the moral and ethical character of the individuals, their feeling and their desire to help each other. It encourages selfishness. Why? Because in the modern world, it has opened the gates for the most corrupting forms of investment ever known, such as drug trade and prostitution. Borrowed money is not used in the service of humanity, but for maximizing profit. In usury or in the interest-based system, the most important is to increase for those billionaires, you know, those whom they own, you know, most of the wealth on the earth, is to increase their wealth. Okay? By any means. Even if most of the people on the earth will suffer, let them suffer. Okay? It is based on selfishness. Okay? Everyone is looking for his own benefit. So if those billionaires will all the time increase, you know, the interest rate, okay, so if the interest, the price of everything will increase, this will lead to inflation. What is going on now exactly? Okay, if you look now to the economy all over the world, okay, what you will notice, okay, you will notice that money lenders control the flow of the money into the market and thereby impose their interests rather than seek to meet the needs of the people or serve the public interest. According to interest-based system, the economy inflates but never seems to grow in a healthy manner to benefit all sections of the community. It is a curse on all the humanity. This is what the Quran clarified 1,400 years before what happens now, you know. It is a curse on all humanity, not only ethically, but also economically and practically. It is the system that creates unhappiness and restricts the growth of harmony and stability in society, despite its deceptive promise of prosperity. You see, sister, so this is the reality of the interest system. Maybe 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 billionaires whom they own the banks, the companies, everything on the earth, they own it, and they plan life according to their benefit. Whether all the people will suffer as what is going on now, no problem. Whether people, you know, are mostly now, you know, they don't find jobs, no problem. Taxes are high, no problem. Because it is based on selfishness. And it is based on something else which we must learn. Now suppose I want to buy a house according to the interest system. Okay? I will borrow from the bank, for example, $100,000. Okay? To buy the house, okay? I am supposed to return to the bank over 20 years, not 100,000, 300,000, okay? So the bank, this means that the billionaire who owns the bank will get from me, the very poor person, $200,000 over 20 years. Whatever I collect for myself, he will get it. For him, I will not get anything. Did he do any work? Any effort, you know, this is why Islam is against interest, because it is all for the sake of the rich people whom they own money without any effort. You know, in Islam, you know, the bank is supposed to be, you know, for example, you will get from me $50,000, okay, to buy the house or $100,000. You are supposed to return this $100,000. You will not add anything. Okay? But if you collect some money, you will put it in the bank. And the bank will trade your money. Okay? But trade in Islam is plus and minus. What is the meaning of this? There is no fixed interest in the bank in Islam. Why? Because it is all up to Allah. Suppose now we put the money in the bank, then the bank start a car, selling cars, but it doesn't work well. So that project failed. The failure will not be only on the bank. It will be on all of us. We all share the increase and we all share, you know, the loss. So this means that we will all cooperate to succeed, you know, and we will all cooperate to help each other. But in the interest system, it is one person who owns everything, controls everything, gets the benefit of everything, and let others, you know, suffer, no problem. Accordingly, you know, as what is going on nowadays all over the world, nobody knows how to solve this equation, you know, how to get rid of the interest system, in spite of the fact now, you know, there is a known statement in Islam that we are breathing interest. It is in everything. If you say, I don't have my money in the bank for interest, but you know, everything in your life is run by interest. So you see how Islam is for the sake of humanity. Why Allah is teaching us these rules, you know, to avoid interest? For the sake of humanity, for the sake that, you know, there will be, as it is going on now in the Wall Street protest, very few people whom they are owning everything and everyone is suffering. This is suffering of the humanity, not only suffering of the Muslims, you know. But the problem is that, you know, whenever you mention Islam, everyone will tell you, no, we don't want to know any Islamic rules. Forget about it. Okay? So I just want to clarify this point to you so that, you know, sisters, for you, as a reverse sisters, believe me, you know, whenever I return home after this class, you know, I feel very thankful to Allah the Almighty, for myself and for you. Allah knows. Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. Because, you know, sisters, believe, faith, you know, guidance is something which you cannot buy it, you know, which you cannot get it by any means. It is something which Allah showers your heart with it, you know, for His knowledge regarding your spirit. That spirit deserves, you know, that kind of guidance, and you can't imagine what is prepared for you, inshallah, after this life. So, you know, we must highly appreciate, to tell you the truth, highly appreciate not only to be Muslims, but to be true believers in the oneness of Allah and to love Allah. And again, sisters, if you look around and you notice that there are many Muslims whom they are not well-mannered or not good, or they don't have, you know, the honesty or whatever, this is not Islam, you know, because Islam is the words, is the last message from Allah. Okay, and Allah is the most merciful, and Allah is the one who has all the justice. Allah never oppress any person. Allah is calling every one of us for the good manners with all the human being and with the animals and with every creature. This is the reality of Islam. The reality of the belief, sister, is that your heart will be full of the good feelings for yourself, for everyone, for the humanity. You want everyone to be happy. You want life to be good. This is the mercy of Islam. And actually, this is the message of Islam. Unfortunately, most of the Muslims, you know, they only, you know, concentrate, or they only try to learn about how to worship, acts of worship. Okay, acts of worship is one of 62 parts of Islam. They forget about the 61 parts, and they concentrate on one part. You cannot worship Allah through, you know, acts, outside acts, okay, and you forget completely about your heart, about your manners, about your values, you know, which are actually the core of Islam. So I want you always to be thankful for Allah, that Allah guided you to this religion, even if it is not clear for you about its benefits in this worldly life. But be sure and be patient, inshallah, that Allah will clarify to you how He chooses you, you know, for the best reward ever you can imagine, which inshallah is the paradise. Okay, now we will continue with the speech of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will learn about how he reminds us of the accursed shaitan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us to beware of Satan. Okay, we will read now again, sisters, from the Quran, some verses of the Quran, which will remind every one of us that Iblis, Shaitan, Satan is our main enemy. So try to be away from him. Try to be away from the people whom they are following his rules and trying to get you, you know, to follow his rules with them. Beware of Satan and remember that he is your main enemy. We will read now from Surah number 2, verse number 208.
الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
الرحمن الرحيم. O you who believe, enter perfectly in Islam by obeying all the rules and regulations of the Islamic religion, and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan. Verily, he is to you a plain enemy.
Again, sisters, we will read from Surah number 17, verse number 53. Okay? Again, to remember that Satan or Shaitan is our main enemy. Surah number 17, verse number 53. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وقل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا.
And say to my slaves and the true believers of Islamic monotheism that they should only say those words that are best, because Shaitan verily sows a state of conflict and disagreements among them. Surely Shaitan is to man a plain enemy.
We will read again, sisters, from Surah number 43, verse number 62, so that inshallah we are always reminded that Shaitan is our plain enemy. Surah number 42, verse number 63, Bismillah ar-Rahman, 62, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يصدنكم الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
And let not Shaitan hinder you from the right religion, Islamic monotheism. Verily, he, Shaitan, is to you a plain enemy.
So actually, sisters, when Allah repeated for us in the Quran that Shaitan is our plain enemy, so it will be a logic question. Why Shaitan became our plain enemy? Okay? We will learn why Shaitan became our plain enemy so that we will be always reminded, you know, to be careful to follow him and always to try to avoid him. So why Shaitan is our plain enemy? We will read from Surah number 7. From verse 10 to 17. Surah number 7, from verse 10 to 17. These are basic, you know, knowledge in Islam, okay, and basic information actually, which, you know, as reverse sisters, I'm supposed, inshallah, to inform you about. Surah number 7, verse from 10 to 17. الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد ولقد مكناكم في الأرض وجعلنا لكم فيها معايشة قليلا ما تشكرون ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين قال فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين قال أنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون قال إنك من المنظرين قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين قال اخرج منها مذءوما مدحورا لمن تبعك منهم لأملأن جهنم منكم أجمعين. From 10 to 18. up to 18.
And surely we gave you authority on the earth and appointed for you therein provisions for your life. Little thanks do you give. And surely we created you, your father Adam, and then gave you a shape, the noble shape of a human being. Then we told the angels, prostrate yourself to Adam. And they prostrated themselves except Iblis. He refused to be of those who prostrated themselves. Allah said, what prevented you, O Iblis, that you did not prostrate yourself when I commanded you? Iblis said, I am better than him, Adam. You created me from fire, and him you created from clay. Allah said, O Iblis, get down from this paradise. It is not for you to be arrogant here. Get out, for you are thus humiliated and disgraced. Iblis said, allow me respite till the day they are raised up, the day of resurrection. Allah said, you are those who respited. Iblis said, because you have sent me astray, surely I will sit and wait against the human beings on your straight path. Then I will come to them before them and behind them, from their right and from their left, and you will not find most of them thankful ones. They will not be dutiful to you. Allah said to Iblis, get out from this paradise, disgraced and expelled. Whoever of the mankind will follow you, then surely I will fill hell with all of you.
So actually, you see, sister, it is a big problem between shaitan and the human being. Because actually, shaitan was expelled, okay, and disgraced, okay, and he was expelled from the paradise, and he is under the impression that he was expelled because of the human being, because he refused to prostrate to Adam. So Allah told him, you know, get out of the paradise. Actually, when Allah asked the angels, all the angels, to prostrate to Prophet Adam, it was not the prostration for worshipping Prophet Adam, but it was to obey the command of Allah. Allah commanded the angels, and Shaitan was one of them, okay, to prostrate to Adam. All the angels obey the command of Allah, okay, but Shaitan refused to obey Allah's command, okay. So Allah was upset with him, and Allah said to him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, get down from the paradise. It is not for you to be arrogant here. Okay, so it was the arrogance of Shaitan that prevented him from prostration to Adam. Okay, so there was nothing between Adam and Shaitan. But Shaitan, because he is, you know, arrogant, okay, he decided to revenge from Adam and, you know, his descendants. Okay, so he said to Allah, because you have sent me astray, this means that get down from the paradise, okay, I will sit in wait against them on your straight path, okay, and I will come to them from before them, from behind them, from their right, from their left, and you will not find most of them thankful to you. This means that they are not worshipping you, okay. So since then, Shaitan is the plain enemy to every human being. Because why? Because whenever I will start to wash for prayer, Shaitan will whisper to me, this is the time for your daughter to come to the school, from the school. So I will tell to myself, no, no, not now. It is still half an hour. I can pray, then I can pick up my daughter. No, no, no. Maybe the traffic will be very crowded now. Okay? Forget about prayer. Go and bring your daughter. This is your responsibility. This is your trust. Get your daughter and then you can pray. So I say, no, no. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan. This is the shaitan who is running in with like the blood with every one of us, trying all the time from the right side, from the left side, by all the means. Okay, suppose now I said to myself, maybe it is very crowded now, 1:30, let me go and bring my daughter home, pick up my daughter. Then inshallah, as soon as I will enter home, I will pray. Okay, the problem is that when I will enter home, shaitan will whisper to me, your daughter is very hungry. This is her right. prepare the food for her and then you can pray. So I tell to myself, okay, let me prepare the food. Now I am listening to the shaitan. Okay, now I start to postpone the prayer. After my daughter will eat, you know, shaitan will whisper to me, you are so tired now, you can also take your lunch and then you can pray. At the same time, the telephone will start to ring. So the shaitan will tell me, answer, answer, maybe this is real emergency. Okay? This is how we forget about the prayer day after day after day. Then many Muslims are not praying at all. Why? Because of the plain enemy. If I realize that shaitan is my plain enemy, so the second I listen to his whisper, don't pray now, I say to myself, Mona, you must pray immediately. This is the shaitan trying to deviate you from the right path. Mona, within 1 month you will never pray again if you start to listen to shaitan regarding prayer. It is not only regarding the acts of worship. When you will prepare the food for your husband and your husband will come late, okay, the shaitan will tell you, this is disrespect. This man is having very bad feeling. Maybe he was with another woman now. Okay, when he comes home, give him very hard time. You must have your dignity. You must respect yourself. So, you know, so you tell yourself, but I'm afraid. I'm so afraid. Maybe my husband wants to get rid of me if I try to argue tonight. This is the last day of my marriage. Shaitan will tell you, let it be the last day. He is a bad man. No problem. So you will follow the shaitan and you will argue for 10 minutes. Then it is the end for everything. Then you know what the shaitan will answer all those whom they listen to him in the worldly life. His answer is in the Quran. Let us read the answer from Surah number 14. Verse number 22, so that you never listen to shaitan whispers. Surah number 14, verse number 2. Sisters, what we will read now, you know, Surah number 14, verse number 22, is what will happen on the Day of Judgment. Okay, the conversation between the shaitan and the human beings on the Day of Judgment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتموني من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم.
And بسم الله الرحيم. And Shaitan will say to the matter. And Shaitan will say, when the matter has been decided, verily Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I too promised you, but I betrayed you, and I had no authority over you except that I called you, and you responded to me. So blame me not, but blame yourselves. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I deny your former act in associating me, Satan, as a partner with Allah, by obeying me in the life of this world. Verily, there is a painful torment for the Zalimun, the polytheist and wrongdoers.
So you see, sisters, how Allah the Most Merciful informed us while we are still in the worldly life that Shaitan is our plain enemy. So that on the Day of Judgment, we will not listen to these words from the Shaitan when he will actually inform every one of us that he betrayed us and that Allah was calling us to guidance, but we never listened to Allah. So again and again, sisters, let us remind ourselves with this fact, Shaitan is our plain enemy. Only the guidance of Allah is the way to happiness in this worldly life. Whenever you listen to Shaitan whispers, try to evaluate what you are listening. If it is against the rules of Allah, remind yourself, this is the shaitan trying to misguide me, trying to make me to follow him, you know, regarding disobedience of Allah. I cannot follow the shaitan. He is my plain enemy. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan, and inshallah I will follow the rules of Allah. This is a very important reminder in the speech of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding shaitan, the main enemy of the mankind. Actually, we will stop here regarding the speech of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah we will continue to learn about this very beneficial speech, inshallah, next class, and let us make the dua. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.